We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. Nick Dab, baby. We the new label.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now this the black sheep sticking it to him. I need a crib like I'm Gatsby.
I need it
in hand, just understand my pocket's that deep. With nothing to prove, I ain't got nothing to do. And I can't compete and I got nothing to lose. You see, they told me I'm the one that's gonna benefit. Never been a threat.
Yes, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Veterans Minimum, the number one sports betting vibe on the internet. I'm your host, Nick Dayas, at Nick Dayas Tenors. You can find me. All things VM are at Veterans Minimum. Live, somewhat. And Sticky Paws, shout out to everyone here at Sticky Paws Studios, giving us a home for the time being. While things are still up in the air, we'll leave it at that. My dog, wearing his Capitals jersey, Jersey Jam in full-fledged, Josh Williams, what's good?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're in the Jersey Jam, you're in there, you got the powder blues, You got in early with a heater, and I will say to you, that both Jory and George reflected your sentiment about the black and Carolina football jerseys. They were like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys are all crazy, but that's 3-1. So I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping, but those were heat to me.
I don't know if it was the fact that you put Drake May as the cover boy.
I mean, it was, look, listen, I just try and find good pictures. If it's clear and it's crisp, it's going up.
Yeah. So we got the draft coming up in about a month. We're not gonna really talk about the draft today, but I do want to mention one thing. I'm not a fan of quarterbacks from basketball schools.
Okay. I'm not a fan.
Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Sam Howell. Drake May. It's kind of a common theme here.
Well, I'll say this. So Sam got a third round pick. We did get a third round pick for Sam, and then they got a sixth round for Justin Fields. We'll get into that. But for me, I'm just not a fan of Drake May. Like, you know, not that high in the draft. Everyone, like, my thing is this: if you can't win, if you're not a winner, like you weren't a winner in college, what in the heck makes me think you're going to be a winner in the NFL? You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're not the person that's leading a team of young men, how in the hell are you going to lead a team of grown men?
Yeah. And also, I'm a fan, and I know I kind of just shitted on the idea of, like, basketball schools. Give me the dude from a smaller program over a big-name program. Now, I know C.J. Stroud just came out last year, and he kind of debunked the whole theory because it used to be a take. Don't draft dudes from Alabama. Don't draft dudes from Ohio State, USC. Clemson was like the exception because they got some really good quarterbacks over the last couple of years. But for the most part, if you look at like the NFL right now, dude, the top like 10 quarterbacks, the schools you look at are Texas Tech,
Patrick Mahomes,
Wyoming,
Josh Allen,
right? Cal, Aaron Rodgers.
Right? That's fair.
Just saying. Oklahoma, right?
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma. And I know he was at Bama, but like, Jalen Hurts really shined at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, these are big Power Five conferences, Power Five schools, but I want to see you perform well when you don't have five-star recruits and number one wide receivers. Like,
I love you. This is the, I'll just jump in. So I have this exact same take. Like, yeah. I have a clip where it's like, give me the quarterback that doesn't have everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, to your point, you know, these other quarterbacks, they come from schools where they have the power five, they have the five-star recruits everywhere.
Right, right, right.
It's like, bro, like, of course you look like Jesus Christ when your guy is always open.
Like, look at the knock on Alabama quarterbacks up until Tua, and even still, I think the jury's out on Tua, more so from a health standpoint, even though he was healthy this year, mm-hmm. and he kind of needs everything to be perfect in order for him to be good. Like, I think the conversation on Tua is completely different if they're the one seed. And then everything goes through South Beach, and it's 82 degrees, as mm-hmm. opposed to going to Kansas City, where like 1,000 people got frostbite.
Literally, and lost appendages.
Yeah, which is crazy. So for me, I just want a guy that is successful with like mediocre talent around him. Perfect example, and there are exceptions to the rules. I was not as high on Joe Burrow coming out because I'm like, bro, he had Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
These dudes are top five picks. Well, yeah. Should have been. You know, Justin Jefferson dropped. But now you see what he's doing now. Burrow exception.
Yeah.
And then you look at a guy like Penix. Yo, all three wide receivers are like top 50 picks that he has. And one of them is like a top five pick. You know, if it wasn't for Marvin Harrison Jr., Romeo is like right there.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
So I want you to win in college. Like, give me a dude that went 10-2 at like Hofstra.
Not Hofstra,
but it was the first school that I'm thinking about.
Because if we're losing two at Hofstra, you're probably not my guy either. Yeah.
But the theory behind it is, if you have five-star recruits, look at the Ohio State quarterbacks up until C.J. Stroud. All these guys played with these big, big-name players. All the wide receivers, that's kind of wide receiver you.
Yeah, yes, it's Ohio become State. That for sure.
All these guys that come out from there, and how successful are you when you don't have them? So that's kind of my knock on like some of the quarterbacks. Like, you know, Caleb Williams, I like Caleb Williams. And after this trade that went down over the weekend, it's kind of solidified that the Bears are going to take him.
Yeah.
So we're going to combine a couple of things with this one, right? Because the Bears trade Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers, get a sixth-round pick from. If it wasn't for Carolina being so incompetent, I feel like this trade would get crucified even more.
For sure.
Because I went over this with Alan on the free agency pod, which last week, by the way, a lot of people DM'd me, whether on Instagram or in the Discord. We only put out one episode because the whole setup got kind of flipped on its head, right? Like, George and I were going to do NFL free agents 2 weeks ago, and then we spent like 35 minutes on an 18-game schedule, and I was going to air that on my birthday on the 11th last week, but then an hour at the free agency, like 9 big names moved, and I was like, yo, it doesn't feel right to put this out. So what I did was waited until Thursday, recorded the NFL free agency with Alan, and then I pieced that at the end. So that just explains to you guys why there was only one episode last week. But for this one, the reason why I bring that up, that last episode, is because I spent a lot of time talking about how incompetent Carolina has been. And if you just look at it, and I'll pull up a tweet, bro, so you can understand just like how shitty.
Oh, they've like, well, here, I'll say this. Carolina has completely decimated that team and gotten nothing in return for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, to your point, as far as the Bears go, I think they're, their new GM, I feel like he's an idiot savant. Like, you make the great foresight pick to, you know, trade down with Carolina. Carolina then backs it up with a horrible year, and you get another number one pick. And so now you could either trade down, trade it, stay there. But then you trade your first round quarterback that was a top five, top 10 pick for a bag of chips. It's questionable. So I know that you're about to get into why they should be crucified.
Yeah, and idiot savant I think is hilarious, and it's also appropriate too. But it's not getting mentioned how much of a disaster the Justin Fields era was, and how bad of a draft. Dude, they traded up to get him. You know how I know? Because they traded with my team.
Yes, they did.
They traded with the Giants in order to get him. And what happens is, Carolina is such a shit show that, like you said, they end up getting the number one pick that they don't have because they traded it to Chicago. So now Chicago's like, yo, we kind of fucked up on the Justin Fields whole dynamic and the era. But we're getting this luxury of having the number one pick because Carolina is full of idiots. And you look at this, combining the Bryce Young trade with the Brian Burns trade offer that the Panthers rejected. This is what they
two years ago.
The Rams were willing to give up, right? They gave up, essentially, this is what the Carolina Panthers gave up. Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, a first-round pick in 2023, top 10 last year, a 2024 first-round pick, a 2025 first-round pick, and then a two 2023 second-round picks and a 2025 second-round pick. In exchange for one additional year with Brian Burns, right? This is them not making the trade the Rams. So saying no to that trade, you get 1 year of Brian Burns on a rental.
Which means nothing,
which led to a 2-win season.
Yeah.
They don't re-sign him, so they give him up for, it was a sign and trade. They get like a second round pick back, but if you're the Giants, like, yo, this is a 26-year-old pass rusher that honestly no one really knows about because he plays on a 4-win team, 2-win team in Carolina.
Yeah.
And then you draft Bryce Young, who, based on like DVOA, if you're into that stuff, had the second worst quarterback season by a rookie since 1970.
He was trash.
Yeah, it was bad.
Trash.
And then, you know, the other case I made is, let me ask you this question, and it'll tie into all this. If the Panthers take C.J. Stroud, we feel different about them. We feel different about the trade. We're like, yo, they mortgaged the future, but they got C.J. Stroud. Holy shit, look at what C.J. Stroud turned into. I don't think he has as good of a year on Carolina as he did in Houston, because Houston was just a better team.
For sure.
And I think
better coaching,
yeah. Better situation, right? Like, yeah. Dude, Panthers, like Adam Thielen, that's all I can mention on their team right now. And like Bryce Young, just because we're shitting on him for the last 10 minutes. But
yeah, who's their running back? I don't even know who their running back is right now.
Miles Sanders?
Yes. Yeah, but is he still there? Like, you know what I mean?
Dude, we didn't even bring up the McCaffrey trade that they gave up just a couple years ago. You know, like, it's so incompetent there. And to tie this all back to Chicago, and then it'll lead to the question that I want to ask you. I want to get your perspective on this. Chicago gets a gift-wrapped situation where it doesn't work out with Justin Fields for X, Y, and Z reasons. He's only had one 300-yard passing game, which in the NFL nowadays, I feel like you should have minimum 11 a season.
11?
300 yards, bro?
You feel like 11's a lot, though.
Bro, 300 yards is not what 300 yards was when we got into football.
Well, 11 still puts you at 3,300 yards through 11 games.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if we have a couple games that are just decent, you're still giving somebody over 4,400 yards. That's a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback. Like look at the this year's numbers. How many people went over 5,000? How many people were at 4?
I'm trying to pull up right now the game log for Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Just for so you go to greatness. That's not a fair. That's a
so he had 1, 2, 3, 4, and then he had 2 295 yard. So he had 6. So he had 6 borderline 300 yard games.
Okay.
Different kind of offense though.
Yeah.
They weren't airing it out as much, but I think, all right, 11 might be excessive, but you shouldn't have one in 3 years.
No, not in that many years,
right,
for sure.
You shouldn't have one.
No. We're not giving him a pass in any way.
So the Fields thing, he gets traded to Pittsburgh, and we'll talk about Pittsburgh in a second, but my question to you is, if I was a GM, that's why, even though it ended poorly with the regime in Arizona, I love what they did. Yeah, we take Josh Rosen. We see him. He's in our building for 9 months.
Yeah.
We know he's trash because we see him, right? And look, bro, I was a big Josh Rosen defender.
Really?
Honestly, up until like 3 weeks ago. I was down with Chosen Rosen. I had the memes. I had all that. Like, anyone that knows me was like, yo, bro, he's the one. Like, I thought he was the one.
And
he wasn't. And, you know, when you're evaluating quarterbacks coming out, if they have a lot of injuries in college, maybe that's something you should factor into also, right? Like he kind of had like some concussion issues. I think it was it was something like that with Josh Rosen. And I could be like tripping over my feet here, but I know he had some like injury concerns coming out.
He had some flags.
Yeah. And Rosen, they saw Rosen and they said to themselves, yo, this isn't the guy. We get Cliff Kingsbury to come in, and he coached Kyler. He liked Kyler. We get the number one pick. Yo, let's just take the L and move on. I think the best organizations do that in all sports. We take someone number two overall. It ain't working out. Let's cut ties, bro. We'll get crucified, whatever. But if we hit on it, on the replacement, no one's going to remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's going to remember that. How do you feel about that? Teams that cycle through guys, even though they know that it's kind of a dud.
Especially in that situation, because we saw how quickly Josh Rosen flamed out of the league. You know, he immediately was a backup, and then he was relegated to the practice squad, and then he was in the XFL. Like, he was out of the league. You know what I mean? So I don't know how much more was with that, but I mean, to your point, you know, look at it now with the Broncos, you know, with them letting go of Russell Wilson. Is that the right move? That one, I think for what you're asking more in terms of drafting. If we make a mistake with a draft pick, should we cut bait and move on to the better player? I think that is correct. When you make a mistake with a free agent or with your own player that you re-sign and something goes wrong, that's tough. That's tougher because now you've hamstrung your team for years in the future based off of this miscalculation. Like, I don't know exactly what their dead cap number is going to be, the Broncos, but it's upwards of 30 to 50 million for Russell Wilson. So that mistake is going to hurt them. And not only that, I still don't feel as if that was the right move. Like, Russell was not a bad guy. This wasn't a TO, like, everyone here hates you. We got to get rid of you because it's, you know what I mean? We have to basically take our medicine, to use a golf term. You know what I mean? Like, you have to just take it because if we keep you, it's worse. You know what I'm saying? That one was tougher. So I don't know. I think when it's draft picks, yes. If you made a mistake, an error in judgment, and you have an opportunity to get better, you do it. You deal with the ramifications as they come. But as you said, the news cycle moves. So as long as you don't cut bait and then that person looks better somewhere else, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but even if he does look better somewhere else, bro, how many times have we talked about it? More so in the NBA we've talked about it, but it's kind of a common theme everywhere. Dude, sometimes you just go into the wrong situation.
Yes.
And then you get traded, you go to a different place, and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, we might give this guy $20, $30, $40 million because he fits.
Over right? here.
I'll give you a prime example because I see it not in person because I'm not there, but I see it with my team, the New York Knicks.
Jalen Brunson. Right?
Jalen Brunson and also Josh Hart. Like, the pairing of them two together, you're like, holy shit, this works.
Yeah.
This works. We didn't like Josh Hart when he was elsewhere, but for what we want him to do here, and you see it happen all the time, bro. Like, who was Wes Welker before he ended up on New England? He was a bona fide punt returner.
He was solid in Miami for the year before.
Yeah, he
wasn't Hall of Fame not, level Wes.
Yeah,
Walker.
Not to the point where it's like, yo, bro, every team now needs that fucking 5'8 to 5'10 white slot guy. Right? Yeah. Which is what like every successful team had. Shout out to me and the white boys out there, 5'10, you know what I'm saying?
Brandon Stokely.
He kinda changed the game now. Yeah. And then that birthed Amendola's, that birthed Julian Edelman's, yep. That birthed Adam Thielen's, like all these other guys. Came through from him. I was gonna say Jordy Nelson too, but he was a dog on the outside too.
Yeah, no, Jordy was different.
But those guys, he went into a right situation, and it's the same thing with quarterbacks, man. Like sometimes, and I know it's the nature of our business, and in the content space, we have to give a natural reaction right away. And I feel as if some players they just get a shit hand, and if you are that guy, then you could change it around. Like Andrew Luck, right? Luck inherited a two-win team, and then he changed it around. He was that good. But those are generational talents, and we throw generational around all the time too. But there's so many guys that are just in bad situations. Bro, you're the one that put me onto this, and you were like, yeah, bro, obviously it's the case where I asked you one time, how many guys do you think in the league, if they were given the opportunity in the NBA, could they go out there and get 30? And you're like, all of them. But it's you're only going to get 6 shots tonight. Maybe you'll get 8 because the star is out. But – yeah, if they ran the offense through them, they could be getting 30 also.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, listen, when I had Peyton Barber on my show, Peyton was talking about just this to a certain extent because he was still trying to get in the league, so he didn't want to get too deep into it. But yeah, 1,000%, man, like the situation, the system, especially when you're talking football, because my team, and you know, I know that you can attest to this as well, my team, we are so, for years, have always tried to make square pegs circle or round. And other teams, whether it would be, you know, Andy Reid or, you know, Sean McVay or some of these, like, really good just commanders of rooms, they would always take whatever you are and they're going to highlight it. I'm going to hide your bad flaws and I'm going to amp up your good ones. And then it's like, oh, look, he still has it. And it's like, no, he just wasn't being, he was being mismanaged over there. You know what I'm saying? And so 1,000%, it's more situation than I think more people give it credit. And then a lot of times what will happen is the narrative start. Oh, Nick can't play. He's not this anymore. So then when you do leave that situation, now you're going into the new situation where people are already looking at you like you're not any good anymore. So then that's when players start tearing themselves down. Now listen, some people do just lose it. They don't have it no more. But a lot of times it's more situation, I think.
Yeah, situation is everything, man. And like with Justin Fields, right? He goes to Pittsburgh. And again, I know I said this a little while ago. We're not going to get there yet because Keenan Allen gets traded to Chicago. And now Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, a much improved offensive line, which, you know, for as much shit as they got, I think a lot of it was Justin Fields holding onto the ball too. That was a big gripe that I had with him where, bro, you got to be a little bit more aware. And I would have the same issues with Daniel Jones, all these quarterbacks that if you know you have a bad offensive line, Joe Burrow was guilty of this too early on. Joe Burrow, dude, you're getting sacked all this time, but you know your offensive line is bad. Don't hold on to the ball for that long. Try to compensate that. Make up for it. You know it's bad. Why are you going to just sit there, you know, five Mississippi holding on to the ball and then you're going to complain at your left tackle that you got sacked? You're like, bro, you know he's trash. Get rid of the ball. Miami was doing that with Tua.
Yeah.
A lot of three-step drops, bang, quick underneath that sprint out play with Tyreek Hill that always seemed to be a first down every time they ran it.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You make up for it where you have liabilities on your team. But with Chicago now getting Keenan Allen, they got DJ Moore. Shit, they might even draft another wide receiver and
they
go
should.
Crazy.
They should. No, because no more Darnell Mooney. Mooney left. Mooney went to
Atlanta.
Atlanta, right? Yeah. And he's solid. Solid. Solid adjacent. Continue.
Darnell Mooney. They lost Darnell Mooney. Oof. It's like if the Giants lost Darius Slayton.
Hey. Okay. You know what? That is a great comparison. That's actually a very, very good comparison.
Yeah. You know, Cowboys lose Michael Gallup. That's what you're losing. You're not losing CeeDee Lamb, bro. You're not. Like, they didn't lose DJ Moore. And that's what I'm saying. It's no knock to him. But, you know, it's. Yeah, I'll never forget this story, bro. You know how the NBA draft or any draft, they'll do a player comp?
Yeah. Yeah.
When the Knicks drafted Frank Ntilikina, you know who his player comp was?
I don't remember, but I do remember.
Oh, I remember vividly. It was Dante Exum.
That's horrible.
That's what I was saying, bro. Like, if you tell me that your comp is another Glad bag trash, how am I going to get excited for that, bro?
Like,
so
all.
When you tell me they lost Darnell Mooney, oh, shit, I can't believe they lost Darnell Mooney. He's a speedster.
Yeah. You can find those.
You can find those
guys. You can find those, yeah, yeah.
A guy that's going to get 4 or 5 targets a game with a huge A-dot average depth of target to take the top off of defense. Shit, DJ Moore could be that for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't excite me, and it doesn't, like, I don't feel different about Chicago because they don't have Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think Caleb Williams, because now it's like minus 8,000 that he's going to be a Chicago Bear, right?
What was it?
It was like minus 2,000. So like $2,000 to win 100, which was still no regular person makes that bet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like no regular person makes that bet. It's the closest thing to a lock.
Yeah.
Right? Like I would argue that there's value on that bet.
At minus 2,000, yeah. Now.
Because you know for a fact that it's going to be him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people misinterpret value with a plus number in sports betting all the time. They'll say, oh shit, there's some good value on there. Why? Well, it's plus 210. Well, that's not what it means, right? Like, if you knew for a fact, and with the drafts, there's, like, insider information, bro. It could be leaked out.
Yeah, for sure.
It could be leaked out that, oh, we know this person's going to go there.
Yeah, or back channels, for sure.
there's opportunities for there to be a leak. So with that, I would argue that even at minus 8,000, that's a parlay piece. If you could parlay Caleb Williams going to the Bears, you could put him in every single bet, and you know for sure it's a lock. But people don't want that. People want plus numbers. But I went off on a tangent there. How do you think Caleb Williams walking into the NFL now, where would you put it as far as situations to go into?
Better than what Justin Fields had. That's for sure. I think the Keenan Allen piece helps a lot more than people are giving it credit, because even though Keenan Allen may not be that A1 star that, you know, you've had over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, he still is. He's still going to be a dynamic possession receiver, which will give him that safety blanket. They still have Cole Kmet, a tight end who's still ascending. So that's another solid tight end piece. And you have DJ Moore, and then the running game as well. So he has enough. The question is the cold and how that's going to play out in comparison to, you know, Justin Fields. Justin Fields played at Ohio State. He then played in Chicago. So you knew what you at least had there.
Yeah.
Whereas now you're bringing somebody that isn't accustomed to that into that. Chicago needs a A1 running game and an A1 defense. That they're like the Steelers. Certain teams, if we're going to be outside, we need to be playing to our elements. We don't need to just be like, oh, yeah, we need to be sexy. Like, no, fool. We play outside.
Yeah.
Like, we got to have both. So that's the only thing that still gives me some pause, where it's like, when that wind starts coming off of Lake Michigan, where we at? You know what I'm saying? So that's one other thing that we won't know until we know.
Right.
But everything else looks good.
I don't disagree with you, but do you mind if I push back a little bit?
You always do.
Aaron Rodgers and Brady were from Cal.
Yeah, no.
And then they went to Wisconsin and New England.
He's from D.C. Caleb's from where I'm from.
Right.
So it's cold.
So I don't disagree. But I think now when you looked at Brady and Rodgers, you're like, oh, shit, it's going to be minus 10 degrees. I give the advantage to those guys.
That's
even
right.
Even though them coming out at the time was
Brady
not
played,
the case.
Brady played at Michigan, though, too. Remember?
Sure.
So he already had some experience in it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So that is the only other difference,
right,
I would
say
out of Brady.
Fair.
He did
fair.
At least going in New England. I've dealt with Michigan. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers ain't nobody ready for Green Bay. I'll tell you that right now.
Dude, I'll never forget the most sure of myself I ever was that my team was going to win was when I went to the wild card game between the Giants and the Falcons in 2011. And at the time, I didn't know Allen, my buddy Allen that I do the show with.
Yeah.
I didn't know him at the time. And he was at that game also because he's a Falcons fan. But I remember going to that game, and I remember watching the pregame. And Matt Ryan is warming up, and he's with Roddy White, and they're throwing, right? And he's doing this. It's cold. He's going, it's cold. I was like, oh, they're fucking Giants are going to smoke these dudes.
Giants,
bro.
By 15 plus.
Giants are going to, yeah, and they won like 22-2. It was a weird-ass game. But I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, my God, dude. I wish I had more money to just fucking hammer the Giants. Because that was all I needed to see.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that, and I'm like, I'm going to remember that visual forever.
But it's a thing.
It's a real thing, man.
It's a thing.
Yeah,
no, so we don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that we don't know.
Yeah. What do you make of what's happening with the Chargers, right? Because Keenan Allen's coming off a career year. Statistically, one of his, if not his best season. He goes and leaves the Chargers, which he's been there his whole career.
Cut.
And, yeah, it was definitely, and this always gets confusing for people. It's not that he's a bad player. It's not that he doesn't have anything left. Sometimes teams are in salary hell.
Yeah.
Like the Chargers had the most money over the cap.
Yeah.
Right? And they
a
cut.
Lot.
Yeah, like a ton. Like over, like about 100 mil. They get the new head coach, Harbaugh, come in, and he's looking at it saying, I don't know if I want to pay this guy. I want to pay this guy, but we can't. Do you want to renegotiate? And Keenan Allen was like, nah, bro, I just had a career year. And I'm like, peace. And that's what happens. It's not that he's a bad player.
Yeah.
It's that we can't afford you right now. We have to make other decisions. And you were a part of a different regime. That happens all the time in sports where us two are GMs, right? You draft you draft this guy, you get fired, I come in, that guy's up for an extension. Well, you weren't my problem. I wouldn't have drafted you. That's what I tell ownership.
Yeah.
Oh, he walks out the door.
Yep.
That happens all the time, too, in sports. So I think the Chargers are doing a complete, complete rebuild, right? Because I think, you know, it'd be dope. They're one. So right now, the top three teams in the draft, they're going to take quarterbacks. What?
Say it.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
What were you thinking?
Well, no, no. So I'll tell you what actually has leaked out. So there were some things saying, because, you know, that like you said, they're doing a teardown.
Yeah.
There were some things saying my Commanders trade the two, a first next year and a second this year, Justin Herbert.
Wow.
I would run to New York myself and put that into the commissioner's office. Like, take it right now, all of it. So, but to your point, who's three? Three is four. Four is
Arizona.
So Harrison is there. Yeah, definitely do what you got to do to go get him, because that would give you that next guy. You know what I'm saying? Arizona, why would you do it? It would be dumb. But these NFL teams, I swear, they have zero foresight sometimes. Like, yeah, we need a receiver, but how about we trade out of it and don't draft the best receiver that we've seen in 10 years? But they do it every time.
Because if you look at the order, right, it's Chicago, Washington, New England, all three need quarterbacks.
Yes.
Arizona, Chargers, Giants, all three need wide receivers. We might go 3 QB, 3 wide receiver.
Stay. If they're at 5, I forgot they're right there. If they're at 5, stay. Stay, get neighbors, get one. Like, there's enough receiver talent and depth in this draft that are high-level talent. Stay. You don't have to move. Don't even, because especially if Arizona is going to make you crack a first next year for it, no. Not for one guy. I mean, it sucks, but... Now, if you're trading a third or a second, you know, a future third or a future second, and you really, really want Marvin Harrison, go do it. But if not, you'll be – Justin Herbert just needs another guy.
Well, they missed on the dude last year.
Yeah, who did they get last
Johnston?
Year?
Johnston.
Yes.
Out of TCU.
Yeah.
Kind of was underwhelming. And now they have no wide receiver. So I think the Chargers taking a wide receiver is massive. And like, yo, bro, honestly – I wouldn't mind moving up one spot to take a Marvin Harrison Jr. because people are saying he's the best wide receiver prospect since like Megatron.
Yeah.
And if he's going to come in right away and be a 1,400-yard wide receiver, why not?
Yeah,
with Herbert, right?
Yeah.
And think about it. You're not going to have to pay him for a couple years.
Five.
He's not going to make that $30 million a year that Chase and Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are going to get over the next nine to 10 months with the extension. So, shit, I'm normally someone that I'm opposed to you trading up unless it's for a quarterback. But when you factor in they lose Allen, they lose Mike Williams, you have Justin Herbert on a big contract. It's a big year for him.
Yeah.
And guess what? Harbaugh knows Harrison really well because he had to go up against them.
Yeah.
And I think if you're the Chargers, that's the move that you make. And look, you have neighbors. You have the dude from Washington. I like those guys, but when you just see, like, bro, Marvin Harrison Jr. as like a freshman would have been a top 10 pick.
Yeah. What would you trade another one for him? Would you trade a one next year to move up that one spot?
I would say yeah.
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 Listen, if it's gonna,
because let me tell you this: Would you trade up one and the next one if it was to draft Justin Jefferson?
Of course.
If it was to draft Jamar Chase,
of course.
CeeDee Lamb,
no,
no, you're bugging.
You and I both really know the truth about that situation down there. He disappears. He'll like. I'll put it this way: the other two that you just mentioned, they don't disappear.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, that star does something to people where it's like, oh, we're great. And then all of a sudden it's like, where's he at?
I know, bro. I think CeeDee finally like exploded onto the scene last year. And I know it's him due for a contract too, so maybe that could have been one of them.
But yeah.
I just think it's something really important that you need to consider. So if I was the Chargers, I think that's the move that you make, especially with everything that you let go and You know you whiffed on it last year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
One. All right, I want to wrap up talking some hoops, bro.
Definitely.
Have you noticed the four teams that right now, if the playoffs started, are in the play-in for the West? Holy shit!
It's a who's who of we're not playing well enough,
bro. It's that, but it's also a who's who of holy shit. I can't believe that if you're the Thunder or the Timberwolves, you have this monster season for the first time in a decade, or in some cases ever.
Yeah.
Or not since like Kevin Garnett, where the Timberwolves a potential one seed.
That's right.
And you go into this now and you're like, oh shit, we won about 50 games, we're the two seed. And then you're going to run into either the Warriors, Mavericks, Suns, or Lakers. Wow. You theoretically don't have the best player in the series, in any series.
In any of those.
As the top seed.
You don't have the best player. You don't have the best coaching. And it's very similar to what the Kings ran into last year with the Warriors. Exact same thing.
Yep.
Kings hadn't been good since Peja and Chris Webber and Mike Bibby were out there. It really took the NBA getting involved to stop the Kings from winning because the Warriors were in trouble. Sorry, Jory in the back. It's a very similar situation. So I think this year with the Timberwolves, with who else is up there up top?
It's the Thunder.
The Thunder. I thought it was the Thunder. The Thunder, I will say, they have a very, very myriad attack. They have so many different ways that they can go with their players. Outside of SGA. You know what I mean? Chet shows up, and then I always forget the other kind of stocky guy that they have. Yes. He's quietly a problem.
He's great defensively, too.
Yes.
And I think that's what makes him really interesting, because there's so many guards and forwards in the West that you got to run into that you could throw a guy like Dort. 3-and-D guy, like prototypical.
Yeah.
He does some other stuff for them, too. But, dude, I was heavily invested in the Thunder, man. Like, coming into the year, I still have a bet on them at like +375 or plus. I got to check with Jeremiah because we got a ticket from Circa, and it was for them to be a top three seed.
Mm. Well, let's hope that they hold on.
Yeah. Oh man, it'll be an all-time beat if they're not a top three seed. I'll be miserable. but dude, what I wanted to ask is, who do you think is the most dangerous of the three, of the four? Excuse me.
Out of those teams, so you said it's the Warriors, the Lakers, the Mavericks and the Suns. So obviously you got to go Lakers. I say the Lakers because when it comes down to it, two things. One, you have the LeBron James factor. The NBA is going to do everything they can in their power to make these games close, I always tell everyone out there, watch the referee matchups, watch the referee trios. Because those things, especially in the playoffs, matter more than you give them credit. But LeBron does things in terms of attacking the basket, not as many threes. So all it takes is your guys not being as hot as they are, or being prisoners of the moment for a moment, especially a young team like the Thunder or the Timberwolves. Both of those teams are younger guys. If the moment gets too big or anything like that, or we have a cold quarter and the other side, they're attacking us downhill, downhill, downhill all the time, it makes them very dangerous. That's the reason why the Lakers made the run last year. The Warriors right now, they, you know, listen, they're very Jekyll and Hyde. Can they be the Warriors? Yes. But can they also still be, you know, this struggled looking team from time to time? Yes. That's the reason why they're down there right now. As far as the Mavs, I just don't trust the Mavs. I love Luka. I love it. But when it comes down to it, they're down there for the same reason. And the same thing with the Suns. We said this, you know, last summer when the trade and everything went down for Bradley Beal, they gave up their entire team. And Beal, I had to watch Beal for years as a Wizards fan. When it comes down to it, he's not going to give you what you need in the end. He's going to miss big shots. He's going to blow layups. He's going to miss free throws. All of those things will happen. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are great, but, you know, yeah, it's the Lakers for me.
You know what's crazy, bro? If you look at the NBA odds, of the top 10 teams, how many do you think are from the East based on the odds?
On the odds? Four. Three or four?
Two.
Okay, so Bucks and Celtics?
Bucks, Celtics. Celtics are your favorite right now.
Yep.
Then you got Celtics, Nuggets, Clippers, Bucks, Thunder, Suns, Warriors, Timberwolves. Sorry, Suns, Mavericks, Timberwolves, Warriors, Lakers. And then you get the New York Knicks and the Heat at 35-1. And the reason why I bring this up is because, holy shit, the West is stacked. Stacked. And I think nowadays you can't knock a team that's a two or a one seed if they lose to one of these teams.
Oh, no, not the
old school. It's not the old school. Like, dude, even last year,
yeah,
Memphis played the Lakers.
Yes.
I think the line was a pick 'em or essentially like -120 +115 Lakers. It was close. It's no longer the holy shit, this team is -1800 as the one seed. Like, yeah. Even the Bucks and the Heat last year, it was a lot closer.
Yeah.
It was like -250 for the Bucks, which in the past
is unheard of. That's like a
conference finals,
yeah,
kind of odds.
And I know that you can attest to this too. I think it's mainly because so many of these guys are resting. So it's like, you know, we've talked about the playoffs being the purest version of what these teams are. So it's like, well, if they rested these guys 15, 20 games, yeah, during the season, then them being the 8 seed, it's not really a true, you know, definition of who they are on the floor.
Yeah. Nah, bro, 100%. And to add to that, context is everything. And you'll see now. You're going to see this over the next couple of weeks. Oh, and I'm throwing out numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but you just know that this is going to be the conversation.
Yeah.
The Thunder swept the Mavericks 4-0 this year.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the box score and you're like, oh, shit, Kyrie missed two games. This was before they got PJ Washington.
They were on a back-to-back.
Luka fouled out. Like, there's going to be a lot of shit that where in the past you knew. Perfect example. I talk about this all the time. The We Believe Warriors. I bet them to beat the Mavericks as the 8th seed that year. This is way before content. Like, yeah. I didn't even think about this. But I remember telling my dad, I'm like, yo, they're going to beat them because they beat them 3-1 in the regular season. Mavericks won like 60-something games. Dirk was MVP. But then you knew that Dirk played all those games.
Yeah. He was out
Baron
there.
Baron Davis played all those. Like, all the guys played, where nowadays you really got to do your due diligence and say it's the Thunders and Warriors in round one. Go back to the box score, go back to those games, and look, did Curry play? Was Klay out? Was Draymond suspended? Like, you have to factor all these things in, and it makes it way more difficult, to your point, where guys are resting. Yo, let's just get into the playoffs. Especially when you're like Curry, you're Luka, Durant, like all these guys that are in the playing game, bro, they've been in game sevens on, yeah, the road, yeah, in Boston. They've been in game seven in Phoenix if you're Luka. Like, that shit don't matter. Eventually, it gets to a point where it might stun a young team. It might stun the Knicks if it's game seven in Boston.
Yeah.
Or if it's Oklahoma City, they're playing a game seven, even if it's at home, but they're playing the Warriors.
Or the Lakers.
Yeah, we've been there. LeBron's like, come on, dude. been in the league for 20 years. What? Oh, yeah, the Thunder scare me. No. So yeah. I'm looking at this, bro, and I'm really thinking, I'm looking at the Mavericks odds 30-1. Man, Luka's probably the best player in the series for any of the play-in games, whether yes. they match up with the Warriors, Suns, or Lakers. And I'm talking about right now. I'm not saying longevity and career-wise, obviously. But right now, you take Luka, and we've seen him have those games where he just literally, they win the game because of him. He has two of them a series. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have Kyrie now, a happy Kyrie. You haven't had no crazy Kyrie stuff.
At all.
At all. Been yeah. pretty quiet.
Yeah.
It's happy in Dallas.
Too quiet.
Too quiet. Do you think it's going to happen soon? Man, fuck this. I don't want this. I want out. Because, you know, bro, that used to be the running joke. My buddy Dylan, he's a huge Nets fan. He's been a Nets fan from when they were in Jersey.
Yeah.
And when they got Harden, I was like, yo, bro, you guys are going to finally get one. He's like, nah. He's like, it's the Nets curse, bro. Someone's going to ask Kyrie about whose team it is, and he's going to jet out and be like, I thought this was my team. And then he's going to go missing for fucking 48 hours before you know it.
All of these things happened.
So, yeah. All these things happened. Shit happened, bro. It was hilarious. But, dude, Mavericks, I've already bet it. I threw $100 on them, 30-1 to win the finals.
Oh, okay. To win the final, I didn't know what the
yeah to win the whole thing. And look, you could get them at half the odds to win the West, if they could get to a conference finals. There's ways that you could hedge out of it, but for the most part, I do think that no one beats Denver.
Yeah,
I said that when they won the title last year. They brought back pretty much everyone except for Bruce Brown, but man, Murray and Jokic, like, I still feel like they don't get the credit they deserve. Like, even though they get acknowledged, yeah. it's still like, bro, these guys, when they want to turn it on, they do. And even yesterday, they were down 8 with, like, 3 minutes left against the Mavs. And then before you know it, it's tied.
Tied.
And then Kyrie hits that crazy left-handed shot.
Left-handed runner.
Yeah.
Across the lane, 18 feet. I was like, Jesus.
That's some shit you do in horse.
That was beautiful.
You did that on Jokic, too?
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was sensational. And then you see all the feedback from social media about, yo, Kyrie's the coldest motherfucker ever. Like, Dame put that out. So I think the Mavs are interesting, man. I think because they got Luka, I was looking at those odds, 30-1. I think they make the play-in, and whoever they match up with, I just know that I have the best player in the series.
Yes. Versus any of those top three. You just do.
Is there a surprise team that you're looking at? And they don't need to be we'll wrap with this. Because, dude, this is where I really get into the NBA.
Yeah.
The last, like, 10 to 15 games, because everyone knows, right? I've talked about this, too. When the players don't give a fuck about the regular season, why should I? But there's about 3-4 games a month, like yesterday.
Yeah.
Mavs Nuggets, you saw that on the schedule? Luka and Jokic. I'm going to watch that one.
I'm tuning in.
Yeah. That happens, like, 3-4 times a month. But now, as you're getting into the home stretch, the final, like, quarter, less than quarter of the season, this is where I really lock in and I really enjoy it. And I love betting playoff basketball. It's up there with, like, anything else. Like, it's in my top three. Playoff basketball, not regular season. Playoff basketball. Can I give you the team that I think is interesting?
Okay.
Am I a homer if I stay in the Mecca?
You shouldn't be. That's not a bad pick at all.
From an efficiency standpoint, for you NBA nerds out there and you analytics geeks, which they are important, but I just don't think it's the be-all, end-all. I'm a big eye test guy, but they passed the eye test. They're 15-2 since they got OG in the trade, in the games that he's played.
Yep.
They're number one in defensive efficiency since the All-Star break.
Yep.
And you know what else they're doing, bro? They're slowing shit down. They're 30th in pace. For those that don't know, there's 30 teams in the league. So they're dead last. They're playing slow. They're playing methodical. They're playing great, great defense. And, man, I think this is the most excited Knicks fans have really been about a team in a very, very long time. And the way the matchups are slated to be, could be looking at them in the conference finals, bro.
I'm always pulling for the Knicks. Listen. You know what I mean? I don't – outside of my Wizards, you know what I'm saying? Of course, I was a Bulls fan, so never cheered for the Knicks back then. But, You know, when Jerome went there, I always have a soft spot in my heart for New York and for the Knicks. So I'm always pulling for them. The East is wide open, I feel like. It's not as set in stone as you think, especially with the Bucks still being kind of, you know, topsy-turvy. You don't know what they're going to look like, especially from a defensive rating standpoint. Any of those guys can be taken out. And I feel like the Celtics, too, we still don't know what Kristaps is going to look like in the playoffs. He's never really been in that situation. So all of these things, there's a lot of variables out there. For me, I'm actually going with the Sixers. If the Sixers are able to keep it afloat, now they got to keep it afloat for a couple more weeks, but if Embiid comes back and he's okay, now they're not rushing him back, meaning like he's not looking like Kawhi dragging one leg, but if Embiid is Embiid and he comes back and they're the 8 or the 7 seed, and you match up against the Bucks, Lord have mercy. There's a lot to be said there. So that would be a surprise team for me if they're able to stay in it. They just got to stay in it, and Embiid has to come back right. He don't got to be dropping 35 a game, right? But if he's 30 a game or more, they're going to be a very tough out.
Yeah, it's all about Embiid, though, like obviously, right? But Maxey's having such a monster year, and – yeah, I don't know, man. I really do think that it's Bucks Celtics. Obviously, we were just talking about the odds before. I think it's Bucks Celtics, and man, I do think the Knicks are really interesting, dude. You know, they might play a Pacers, they might play a Philly,
mm-hmm.
they might play Cleveland. Like those are the teams, and I would make the Knicks a favorite over all those guys. And we don't know if Randle comes back. I think Randle has a lot of pressure on him to perform in the playoffs, because
God, I hate that. I hate that for him.
I know. Randle in the regular season, I mean, he's made all NBA. He's been great. But then come playoff time, you're like, oh my God, we got to pay this guy $100 million. That's crazy. Yo, that's always where my mind goes, dude. Because you can't just, it's not baseball where you could just do what the Dodgers did, just sign mad dudes to $200 million.
What,
you got to have
a
cap.
What luxury tax?
Yeah.
What apron?
Yeah. We'll slap on the wrist. We'll be all right
with
that.
Keep spending.
But when you're looking at certain guys, you're like, damn, bro, this guy's going to cost us so much money. You need him to perform when it matters most. So he does have a lot of pressure on him, man. But I really like
– you guys are matched up with Orlando right now. So,
dude, okay, I had this in my notes, and I'll show you too so you know I'm not messing around. I took a screenshot of this because I wanted to mention it. Look at that. Is that not accurate? No one's talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. None,
bro.
None.
Like
1,000%.
I even breezed past them too.
I didn't realize that they were up that high.
Paolo is what 20 and 21.
Yeah, yeah. No more than 21.
Second year in the league, 23-7-5. No one's talking about the Magic
at all.
And he was an all-star.
Yeah,
playing well. They're a super young team. You know, like, but the makeup of the Magic is like, all right, half these guys are going to leave eventually. Like, no one ever really re-signs with the Magic. It's going to be interesting to see if they do keep those guys around.
Which is always terrible because Orlando's a great city.
Orlando's a great city. No state tax.
Yeah, it never makes sense to me. I never understand.
You're the only team there, so all the attention is on you.
Yeah, in Orlando, yes.
Like pro team.
Yeah,
right?
No, in Orlando, that's right. Yes, yes. Yeah, that never made sense to me. I'd run the Magic Kingdom, have a parade every week.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Paolo. They're having a monster season, and for what the expectations were, I think they've surpassed their win total more than any other team.
I believe if they're that high, yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. The playoffs are gonna be interesting. And again, I don't think it's what it used to be. I don't think you're gonna see as much of oh my God, a 7-2, you know, end of the world. Things are falling. It's like, nah, bro, these teams are way better. There's more talent in the league than ever before. These teams, because of the resting and the load management, maybe they're just like, let's just get into the playoffs. It's the old Spurs,
mm-hmm.
Spurs mentality.
Yeah.
Let's just get in and we'll figure it out. Even LeBron with the Cavs, I think one year that they went to the finals, they were a 5 seed or a 4 seed. Like,
yeah, they were like 3 or
yeah,
yes, they were
matter.
Lower. Yeah.
It don't matter. So, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a lot more NBA as we continue to move forward. And there's going to be a lot of cool shit coming out of Veterans Minimum over the next couple of months. Going to do a NCAA tournament bracket. The winner is going to get $250. It is free to enter. It's open to the Patreon members. It's open to people in the Discord. It's going to be linked in the episode description. I'm going to give out $250 to whoever wins it. A lot of people have been asking about a tournament. We didn't do it last year. I know you got your Jersey Jam going over on your show. I would love for you to tell people about that as we sign off. But yeah, man, just sign up. $250 to the winner of the tournament, the VM March Madness 2K24 Challenge. Everything's going to be on there when you guys listen to this episode. And yeah, let's try to get 100 people in there. I think it'd be dope.
That's right? Dope.
Free entry. Like, you know, I know some of my cheap friends back home, they'll sign up too because it's free. People love free shit. I love free shit. So it'll be in the description of the bio. At Nick Day, as tenders, you can find me. All things Veterans Minimum are at Veterans Minimum. Josh, tell the people about Jersey Jam and then all the shit you got going on.
Yes, sir. So this is the second year we've done the Jersey Jam. Basically, it's a tournament bracket, Nick. Got 64 teams, just like the tournament. Everyone picked their hottest jersey. This year is crazy. We did football and basketball. And yeah, the winner of the whole thing, it's going to have daily voting. So the winner of the Jersey Jam is going to get an autographed version of that jersey. So exciting times. Exciting times. And again, Josh Williams, the American Fan 365, can find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, I guess. I don't tweet.
It's Twitter, bro. It's Twitter. I'm never calling that shit X.
Yeah, thank you.
It's Twitter.
Thank you for that.
Even when you go right on the internet and you put you put twitter.com, that's what comes up.
Everyone with the X formerly known as Twitter, it's like, this isn't Prince.
No. Always going to be the Staples Center.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, crypto, whatever it is you got called.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, if they ever change MSG, it's going to still be MSG.
Oh, God. We'd riot.
They'd riot.
We'd riot.
Y'all not
MSG brought to you by our friends at what?
Yeah.
Burn it down. Yeah,
burn that shit down.
Burn it down.
All right, yo, we'll catch you guys later this week.
I'm a gold medalist, bronze like your medalist. So many deer in headlights, but it's bedtime. Hear that supper bell, main course, beat a venison.
Zap. Most dangerous game. Either kill or be killed.